This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got Corey Majors, and we've got Alec Medford. Now, Corey, I get the sense you do not agree with this strategy, but we're going to bring on Dallas Stars reporter Robert Tiffin, and it is the morning.
Yes.
So it's only logical that we call this segment Breakfast at Tiffin's. Robert, what are your thoughts about my idea?
Well, it just makes me hungry mostly. But, you know, other than my usual aversion to puns, I guess I can't complain about the publicity.
So hold on. This is
you
great.
You might not care for my show.
This
for
is
me.
Great. No, I like this because I did tell him yesterday. I was like, you can back out now that you know this. And he said he's still here. So that kind of gives us a positive feeling. But he's with me and Alec on the aversion to puns, and yours specifically. So I think we're okay with this. I think we're going to like this guy.
So just to let you know, I started off the show with this joke. I've been thinking about taking up fishing, no particular reason, just for the halibut. And it didn't go over super well, and it looks like it hasn't gone over super well with Robert either. So we'll see how that goes in the future. All right. Obviously, the biggest thing that people are curious about is the Stars' next head coach. Are there any particular, either whether it's names or whether it's qualities you would like to see in the next head coach? What are you hearing? What are you thinking?
Yeah, Jim Nola said a couple interesting things about this recently. One of the things he emphasized in his press conference on Friday announcing the firing of DeBoer was that you have to be careful not to make so many changes that you end up going backwards, which is something, you know, even last season, remember the Stars talking about, you know, they'd gotten to the Western Conference Final last year and they lost to the Oilers last year. And so you want to get over that hump, but you don't want to undo all the good you did to get to that point also. So the other thing that Nil mentioned is that, at least for now, all the other assistant coaches have been retained. And it's not uncommon in this business when you see a coach get fired for them also to announce, you know, that so-and-so, these other assistant coaches are also being let go. And sometimes it's some of the coaches, sometimes it's all of them. In this case, it's none of them, at least for now. So that does kind of suggest that maybe the Stars don't necessarily want to completely change everything they're doing. And, you know, especially given how good their special teams have been for most of the last 3 years, you can kind of understand that. So it looks like they might want something that doesn't necessarily revolutionize the way they've been playing, but genuinely what he said, which is a fresh voice.
Yeah. And when you go to the fresh voice, how much does a coach's, I guess, history play into that? Because one of the things about Pete DeBoer is he is one of the best we've ever seen at getting to this point. But even getting to the Stanley Cup final has been a struggle for him as of late. And obviously he's never won it. So how much do you think a coach's background of playoff success or like lack thereof for where the Stars are looking to go factored into this?
Yeah, it's a good question. DeBoer, there's no question that tactically DeBoer is a very, very skilled coach. Other coaches and even other players I've talked to this year have said the same thing, that DeBoer is absolutely unquestionably a guy that knows his stuff. And you don't get to the Western Conference Final over and over. You don't make it a couple Stanley Cup Finals like he's done too by accident. He knows hockey. He knows how to coach. But the problem is, as we've seen every other place he's been, around that 3 year mark, his message starts to wear thin. The teams don't tend to get past that hump. They don't win it. And so his voice stops being as effective. And by all accounts, that's kind of what happened here too, that the players are getting a little bit more frustrated. And you know, something Nil said, and even DeBoer supposedly said to Nil as well, is that the team just didn't quite look right ever since February when they had the Four Nations break, that this team, as much as they were still good, they still made it, you know, 7 wins away from the Stanley Cup. They just didn't look themselves. So you want a coach who, like you said, you don't want a coach who doesn't know what they're doing when they get to this point in the playoffs. But it's also the case that you have a group of players who have been here so often that it might not be as crucial that you have a coach who can do all those things. They've kind of been through these motions before. So if you have a coach who can inspire them, if everyone else, you know, it's kind of like at work, right? If you have a boss that everyone kind of likes and you have a group of workers who are motivated and have integrity, you can do a lot of good things, even if the boss isn't maybe the most brilliant person in the room. But you have to have that mix. And I think they're going to err on the side of maybe having a boss who, you know, might not have quite the resume of DeBoer, but can get those players looking their best when it counts.
We got Robert Tiffin here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. You can check him out at starsthoughts.com. Go check out that and subscribe right now. You kind of mentioned the line. It sounds like February, but did you ever notice, other than the Otter moment, tension between coach and player? Did you ever notice maybe other guys on the team have that tension with coach?
You know, one other thing Jim Nill said, is something that I also heard, is that when players aren't getting as much playing time, of course they're not going to like the coach, yeah, right? That's all any NHL player this caliber wants to do. They want to play because they don't get to this level without having that confidence and having shown, yeah, I'm good enough to be in the NHL, to be one of the best hockey players in the world, quite literally. I want to play. So when you have a player who's that good, who's been that good, you know, since they were probably 5, 10 years old or whatever, and then they're sitting on the bench, right, those players aren't going to be happy. So, yeah, of course, I heard from those players, those sorts of players that they didn't agree with everything. But it seems clear that behind the scenes, there were some other players who aren't going to say those things to media, people like me or on camera. But I don't think Nil makes this change if all the regular players and all the top players are saying everything's great, we love it. No, it's all 100% on us. I think it's pretty clear. And some of that has trickled out since last weekend. It's pretty clear that all was not great in that room, and that really they were seeing the same things, that the trends were starting to get worse, even the losing streak at the end of the season. I think that really did concern the players. And when you see a coach who's so kind of desperate for answers that he starts getting stressed enough to even throw the goalie under the bus.
Yeah.
And, you know, the analogy I always use is you see how players come to their goalie's defense if someone just bumps him or someone breathes on him or taps his shin pads after a whistle. You see the, you know, players go nuts. So when your coach throws him under the bus in the media, you can imagine the players aren't going to like that.
Yeah. The other thing too is you kind of were discussing the search and what you already have, and the most difficult part is getting over this hump. Like you're there, you're right at that. I mean, the Bills have experienced this for so many years. The most difficult part is getting over that. Do you limit yourself when you're looking at this coaching staff and going, oh, we only need this guy because he can get us this? Or do you expand this even more and you say, hey, man, we can go overseas. We can find somebody here. There are a lot of different guys that could fill this role. But as you said, you don't want to regress while you're doing it.
Yeah, there are three names that I kind of have been talking about the most in the last few days. Those names are, one, David Carl, who's the coach at University of Denver. And that name came up even though the Blackhawks and some other teams tried to get him to leave UD, and he didn't this offseason. But of course, Dallas is a much better team than Chicago is right now. And the other reason I mentioned that name is because Jim Nill himself mentioned Jim Montgomery, who, again, also he plucked out of the University of Denver back in 2018. So Jim Nill has made a move like that before with a good team. Remember, that team in 2018 was only 2 years away from being the best team in the West under Lindy Ruff in that 2016 season. So Jim Nill has not had a problem putting a rookie coach with a good team that's expected to start winning very quickly before. He's done it before. So if they somehow could get David Carl to kind of backtrack on all his kind of recommitment to the University of Denver, everyone in hockey, and I would agree with them, would say that's a huge coup. And that would be a great opportunity. Again, is it a guarantee? Of course not. You never know, right? And coaching is only coaching. The scorers still have to score. The goalies still have to stop pucks, but he would be great. The other two names that come to mind for a more internal sort of candidate would
Neil
be
Graham.
Neil Graham, who I was just down in Friday. I talked to him a little bit down in Austin for what turned out to be the Texas Stars' last home game of their season in their own Western Conference final. And he's still a pretty young guy. He's in that kind of mold of like where someone like a Jim Montgomery was, at least in terms of age, although obviously the AHL is a professional league, very different from college in a lot of ways. But Neil Graham has been with the organization for 13 years, I think. He's been with this organization, both down in Idaho and the ECHL and then in Texas for a long time. He's someone that they think really highly of. I heard that he even interviewed with San Jose for their NHL job that they ended up giving to, I think, Brian Worsofsky, another younger coach. So it's clear that he's thought of well around the league. So I don't think they want to lose Neil Graham. So you kind of have to do something. He's been down the AHL coaching as their head coach for 6 years now. So at a certain point, you want to give a player like that an opportunity. Otherwise, you lose him and you know, who knows what you do. The other option in that vein would be Alain Nasruddin, who's the current assistant coach. Unlike Steve Spott, he's not really a package deal with DeBoer, even though he came on board 3 years ago at the same time. And he has a little bit of head coaching experience in New Jersey. He took over mid-year for them once. So there's another world where you say, okay, maybe Neil Graham, you don't want to make him the head coach right away. He doesn't have any NHL experience. And you move Nasruddin in the head coach spot for a year or two and Neil Graham up to the NHL as an assistant coach. And then you go from there. So those are kind of the three names that I look at. But of course, you know, Jim Neal has surprised us before.
Yes, he has.
Now, we're talking about bringing in a new coach. Are you going to think that I'm a monster if I'm like, hey, I appreciate all the service time of Jamie Benn, but it's time to go ahead and move on down the road with that?
I think you should say that to his face and see if you still feel the same way.
We've pissed him off before, so yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. If you've done it before, then you'll have no problem doing it again.
He threw a skate into a bench once. So yeah, he was mad.
Yeah. Look, you're not the only one saying that. You're not the only one asking that question. And you get to this point in a player's career and, you know, Ben, even DeBoer has himself said that, and others too, that Ben he wasn't at his best in this playoff run. He just wasn't. On the other hand, Ben had a pretty good regular season, not his best, but he was a scorer. It's not like he scored 20 points or something. He scored what, 50 points, I think, in the regular season. And he's a good player in that kind of bottom six role. And he's also a player who's shown, unlike other players the Stars have had in the past, his ego is not a problem when it comes to taking a diminished role. He can play on it, even a fourth line. He didn't even play on the power play down the stretch of the season or in the playoffs, and he was okay with that. He's not causing problems in the room at all. And Jamie Benn is still one of the most feared players in the league. Believe it or not, he is. There's a lot of reasons that he wasn't necessarily retaliating against the Oilers for some of the slashes on Hintz, but those reasons are not because he's not capable of it or he doesn't want to anymore. It was much more of a tactical thing. Really driven by the team as a whole, not just the head coach. Neil kind of backed up DeBoer and saying, no, we're trying to win, not trying to get into nonsense. But
sure.
Yeah, I think Jamie Benn, if you can push his salary to next year with some incentive, some performance incentives, which you can do now, then I think it's an easier calculation. If he's not making a ton of money, yeah, it's easier. Bring him back, let him be a leader for one more year, and then you can kind of do a soft transition to Wyatt Johnson, whoever down the road.
Okay, see, and you just kind of hit on something I was curious about. I don't necessarily think it's an ego thing, maybe it's a respect thing, but if you were going to bring him back in that role and soften the minutes or lower the minutes a little bit, would it be considered too disrespectful if you're like, hey, appreciate all the service, we're going to move the C to somebody else?
It's a good question. The analogy I wrote about the other day is that think about this offseason when the exit interviews were clearly a factor in DeBoer being let go. Imagine you're Wyatt Johnson. You just turned 22 years old. I don't know how smart you guys were at 22. I was not very smart at 22. No. So imagine you're sitting there in front of Jim Neal. And he's asking you questions, and you know your answers to those are going to have an impact on Pete DeBoer's job.
This podcast is powered by Men's T Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
that's a lot of pressure. And you're also there to deliver messages from your players in the room. You're the captain. Wyatt Johnson is kind of the presumptive next captain. Even Jamie Benn kind of referenced him, mentioned him by name in his end of year exit interview. So I think part of it is you don't want to move that C too soon to Wyatt Johnston. You also don't want to wait too long. You don't want to, you know, have Ben be this captain for another 5 years and everyone's thinking, oh boy, this guy needs to be a healthy scratch. But just because he has the C, we can't, and it's causing problems. I don't see that being an issue with Ben. He's shown that he can take a lesser role and play in the fourth line. I just think my feeling, just from talking to these players, my feeling is that there's probably at least one more year where the easier path for everyone, including for Johnston, is for Ben to come back for at least one more year, see if he's got anything. And if he doesn't really have enough this year, if it's really a tough watch all season this year, then it's an easier call next year to move on, either from the letter or his contract or both. But I think this year it's easier to still say, you know what, let's give Johnston one more year. Let's let him, even, you know, Johnston wore an AL tiny bit this season when some players were hurt. But I don't think you have to rush that transition. I just don't think there's a need to rush that transition since Ben's contract is going to be a lot less this year.
One of the things we had it seemed like every other game we had the discussion of the defense was leaky or the defense didn't do this. Mm-hmm. Were we wrong in that assumption or in that assertion that the defense wasn't good enough throughout this playoff run on frequent times? And what can they do to fix that?
You're not wrong at all. It was much leakier, especially down the stretch. Essentially, you know, when they lost Haskinen and Nils Lundqvist, who's, you know, not a top pairing defenseman or anything, but they lost two of their kind of staple defensemen on the right side. And they replaced him with, you know, Cody Ceci, and then Matt Dumba started coming back in the lineup and playing more minutes. And Cody Ceci, you know, coaches tend to like him, but there's a reason that he's played for a lot of different teams in his career. He was a first round draft pick, skilled player. He's got a lot of good things about him. He's got some size, but he's just not the sort of player who strangles another team's offense. And the way the Stars play doesn't really strangle other teams' offense. They focus more on kind of defending the blue line than they do on, you know, locking up players along the boards. Now, Leon Bischel, he is that sort of player who can kill plays along the boards. But the Stars didn't have enough of that. And especially a team like Edmonton, they were just allowed to get enough of those really premium grade A looks, high danger, whatever you want to call them. And that, I think you saw that leakiness of the Stars defense. A team like Edmonton is good enough and skilled enough and deep enough to exploit that. And they kind of took those cracks and ripped them open and walked through them. And that's why you saw them get outscored. I think on 5-on-5, it was 13-5. Edmonton outscored Dallas. So forget special teams. Edmonton was just getting better looks and scoring better looks. And Dallas just couldn't keep up with them.
Now, the last thing I was curious about, and I know you said starsthoughts.com, you have an article up there because we've talked about Edmonton a bunch, and I was hoping to kind of like hopefully drive people towards the website and give us some interesting information.
They got their butts whooped last night.
They did. Sorry. But the article you have up now is getting past Edmonton should not be the primary goal for the Stars. I will admit, I have fallen into that trap as well. Can you expand kind of on your hypothesis there?
Yeah. Basically, if you think back to last postseason when they lost to Edmonton for the first time, that was a really even series. And the big story coming out of it was Dallas's power play didn't score. And so, man, the power play disappeared. That could have won them the series. Instead, it lost the series. Steve Spott, what is he doing? All this stuff. Okay, great. You fast forward to this year. Power play goals were 6-5 for Edmonton, and Dallas won game one because of their power play when they scored those three power play goals in the third. So the power play was not the problem in this series. They fixed the power play. But the problem is everything else kind of started fraying at the edges. And we know, of course, DeBoer mentioned Jake Oettinger, and he saw him as kind of the difference between the teams. I think scoring at even strength was probably the bigger difference. Personally, when you look at it, the Stars just weren't. I mean, the only 5-on-5 goal scorers the Stars had in the entire series were Jason Robertson and Tyler Seguin, two players who very recently came off of pretty severe injuries. And when the rest of your lineup cannot score a single 5-on-5 goal, you clearly, the last thing you want to do is say, okay, well, we just need to fix one thing and get past this one team. You think about the first round with Colorado. They got pushed to 7 games against Colorado. They nearly went down, 3-1 if they don't win that other overtime game, right? This series, they could have been down 3-0 if they don't win those first games 2 and 3 in overtime. You can overcorrect so easily. And Neil mentioned this again. He mentioned it really clearly that you can move backwards so fast. So as much as you might want to focus on, oh, they got to fix this or got to fix that because it all got highlighted in five bad games against Edmonton, you want to make sure you have that game seven at home in the first round. They're playing that game seven at home in the first round in Denver because they finished below the Avalanche because they lost just a couple more games in the regular season. Maybe they don't get out of the first round, and then we're having a completely different conversation. Yep. So they just need to get better as a whole. They need to get better. The defense, like you said, needs to get better. And with all the players getting a year older, that's a complicated thing. I think being a general manager might be tough sometimes. I don't know.
Probably so. You make it sound a little easier, yeah, though. Man. Robert, thank you so much for jumping on with us. Really appreciate it. And hopefully the puns won't keep you from coming back.
No, as long as breakfast gets dropped off, I'm still waiting for it.
Okay.
Here, I assume it'll be
that feels like a fair trade. We'll work that out. Thank you very much for the time, good sir.
Thanks, guys.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Robert Tiffin right here on 105.3 The Fan. You loved him, right?
Good and seems like the Tolos did, too.
Yeah, indeed. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Will any of these perpetual NFL loser teams get back on track? Next on The Fan.
Long down and distance in this second half. And it's almost going to get longer. Williams got away from Hunter somehow. Fires downfield. It's intercepted by Lasseter. Stays in bounds, and Kamari Lasseter takes it away.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through The Fan. Right now, let's go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip. Dip and rip it.
Now, Corey, you might have thought my tease was inflammatory. Will any of these NFL loser teams get back on track? Now, this is a very specific type of loser team. One who has not
lost
been, I mean, that
one
makes
who's
sense.
Lost, probably.
One who's not been to the playoffs. So, if you're ready to say it's Cowboys segment, for this specific metric, they do not fit the loser team.
Because they've been to the playoffs.
Yes. Now, do they win in the playoffs? Not usually. But they do not fit. So here's my question. I have six franchises that haven't been to the playoffs in the last 4 years.
All right.
I want you to tell me which one of them is most likely to make the playoffs next. We have the Bears, as you probably guessed from that audio.
All right.
The Jets, the Panthers, the Saints, the Falcons, and the Colts.
Okay.
All right. So it's the Falcons, Colts, Panthers, Bears, Saints, and Jets. Those are your six. Which do you think will be the next to make the playoffs?
Alec, I'm going to kill the Jets.
Whoa.
Not like real. I'm not really going to kill them.
Oh.
But I just don't think in that division that they're going to be able to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and it's weird because I feel like they're talented enough, but it's the division.
Yeah.
I don't think they can climb up high enough.
Is that the most lopsided division to y'all, like in terms of I know for a fact who's going to win this division?
Probably.
I kind of feel like the AFC West.
But don't you think Denver could do something?
But the Chiefs are still there.
Sure.
But I see where you're going with that. I'm also going to kill the Saints because they don't have a quarterback.
True.
They're figuring that out.
Have you not seen their quarterback competition?
No.
It's probably for the best.
I'm going to kill the Colts because they expect Daniel Jones to save them.
I did see that article that you'd sent about lots of people are now betting on Daniel Jones to be the comeback player of the year, and good for you.
I don't think the Panthers are quite ready yet.
Okay.
So that leaves me with the Falcons and Bears. Would you agree, Alec?
100%.
All right. Ooh. I will go with the Bears over the Falcons, although I do think the Falcons are in really good position right now that they've moved on from Kirk Cousins and gone to Michael Penix.
Kirk Cousins still on the roster, and that is not how you say their starting quarterback's name.
But the Bears, I already felt I think Caleb Williams can be a very good quarterback. I know Bobby has a lot of problems with his fingernail painting, but I don't. And so I think he can be a good quarterback, and I think they have a good coach. Again, I asked the question about the head coach before he left being an offensive coordinator. I have no clue what he's going to be like as a head coach.
Right.
Is he going to be Dan Campbell where he's like, go for it on fourth down every time. And let's try to throw all these tackle eligible plays into the mix. I don't know, but if he does, that's a great edge for him to have. So I do think the Bears are the final option there. Seems pretty, but it's a that's a tough division too.
Yeah,
that's a very tough division to come out of. So it's going to be, I think maybe that could be the division with three teams in the playoffs.
Okay. Now let's go to the Bengals. The Bengals have some problems and it seems like they maybe are getting worse. So Trey Hendrickson, he's already said, hey, I'm not going to be at mandatory minicamp. Shamar Stewart is there, but he has been adamant, their first round pick, he's been adamant that he will not participate in any of their practices until he gets his contract signed.
Okay.
And so.
And they just moved on from Jermaine Pratt today, too.
That was yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. Yeah.
And so basically, the Bengals tried to put a extra clause into Stewart's contract that would turn a default into voiding the guarantees for other years. And he's like, that's not in other teams and first round player contracts. So what?
Okay.
So he's there, but he's not practicing. Hendrickson is not practicing and or not there. And then if you want to add this on, neither is TJ Watt. So that means the two players who are 1 and 2 in NFL sacks the last 2 years, neither one of them is at mandatory minicamp.
Well, that's the way that mandatory minicamp seems to go, doesn't it?
It really is.
The mandatory is still voluntary, right?
I mean, I guess if you're willing to eat the fines now, Jonnu Smith is not at mandatory minicamp either, but he's like, that's because you're going to trade me, so I'm not going to be there.
That's interesting.
I'm paraphrasing, but essentially.
Because I guess you don't, you're already starting to emotionally break up with your friends, you know, that you have on the team. You're like separating them by that. But don't you want to kind of get in there and get your legs loose? I guess not. These guys are like, dude, I'll do that.
I'd just be worried about, I guess, injury. But man, now I started to think.
And you know what? That might be the Dolphins saying, don't come.
Yeah.
Because we don't want you to get hurt.
You might be right about that. This is one you said that you do not agree with. I was hoping you would expand. Terry McLaurin has also said he will not attend mandatory minicamp this week.
Maybe it's minicamp that's not necessarily. I think Terry McLaurin's in a situation where he's got a very young team that could use his guidance. And yeah. I think that he's part of that young group too, but he's been in the league for a while now. And they need leadership in that room. Now, did Jaden Daniels walk in and take over? Probably. Like he probably there, but the leadership in that room, I felt like last year and over the last few years, McLaurin's been there for it. And everybody will say the same thing. He's a good guy in the league.
Yeah.
They all really admire him. Not showing up, I don't love so much. I'm perfectly fine with the idea of showing up and sitting out. The sit in.
Yeah, you like that better.
Rather than sit out.
Yeah.
Go to the practice, be there. If you really want to be part of it, I know everybody in that room understands it's a business. Everybody on our staff would understand it's a business too. We understand that part of it. But when you know that it's part of the business and you're about to win and you're also there and you're going to win this conversation at some point, but you're also in the room for it, everybody sees that and they're learning from you while you're doing it too. You're not necessarily coaching that guy and teaching that guy the things to replace you. You are sitting there working with that group to make y'all all more successful.
Are you ready to praise the Philadelphia Eagles again? I don't think you're going to have a choice.
I might do it in C block.
What?
And that's unfortunate.
All right. That means you're going to praise them twice in this show. Jeffrey Lurie has donated $50 million to open the Lurie Autism Institute in partnership with Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and Penn Medicine. The gift from the Lurie family is the largest single donation to U.S. academic medical centers focused on autism research across the lifespan. So it's the biggest one. Praise the Eagles.
Do you know why he's doing this?
I mean, and he's done several things with
this. He has a strong personal connection. His brother, Peter, was diagnosed with autism at a young age. And I think that's, you know, for a lot of us, it doesn't hit us until it hits us personally, and then we have a reason.
Agreed.
That's why. Thank you, Jeffrey Lurie, for the work on that.
Now, this is an intriguing hypothesis. I was reading about this from Awful Announcing, and the Super Bowl 60 ad inventory is just about sold out.
Okay.
And so
already?
Yeah, exactly.
We don't even know. Okay, go ahead.
So there is thought that NBC could potentially ask the NFL to allow more commercials. Now, I know you might think, first of all, huh? But yeah. So $7 million, give or take, for a 30-second spot. All right. All I want to do, Corey, all I want to do is add 2 minutes of commercials. What's the big deal? It's $28 million. And what if you told the NFL, hey, maybe I can split it with you or whatever? Because, like, obviously the NFL would have to sign off on this. But just keep that in mind. Since they're sold out so early, the potential for perhaps slightly expanded commercial breaks during the Super Bowl. Not saying it's going to happen, but the potential is there.
You know what else potential is there? Don't we have Kevin saying he's a huge Steelers fan?
That we do.
And now it looks like we have him screaming out to praise the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm. Kevin.
Crap.
What do you have to say for yourself?
I have been to Pennsylvania multiple times.
That has nothing to do with this.
Fraud.
Okay, so I mean, that
kinda,
okay, makes a lot of sense.
That kind
of
feels makes like that has something now. To do with
this
it.
Guy.
Ooh, PennsylvaniA. There are two N's?
Good enough for me.
All right.
I think there are two I's.
What? Okay. Whatever. Let's go to Max Crosby. Max Crosby said he underwent surgery in December, said he's 100% healthy and has had an incredible offseason thus far. So hooray, we're all happy for him. And then there's Nate Wiggins. Nate Wiggins said he feels like he needs to do significantly better in year two for the Ravens. All right. He had a good first season. He really did. He even scored on a pick six for his lone interception, had a forced fumble. But he said this year his goal is to create 10-plus turnovers.
Okay.
And that he owes the Ravens some picks. Do you love to hear that from a first-rounder who had a solid season and is like, I really feel like I owe you guys interceptions. 10-plus turnovers is my goal this year.
Jeez, that's a big number. Yes. To answer your question,
yeah,
yes. I want all my players to have those kind of lofty goals and almost meet them.
Man, we'll have the best defense in the world. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's hear from the head coach, Brian Schottenheimer, next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's turn it over to Dallas Cowboys head coach, Brian Schottenheimer.
A lot from when I got in this crazy business. I grew up around it. Obviously, you guys know that. But, you know, the business has changed a lot through just social media and contracts, both players and coaches alike. You know, you can control what you can.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Control. And, you know, if a guy's here or not here, it doesn't mean I'm not going to connect with him and talk to him and spend time with him and get to know him. It's the new era of football, but I'm never going to change how I relate to our players, our coaches, ownership. I'm just going to be who I am. And when guys are here, you know, that gets you excited. And I'm excited that we've got perfect attendance and guys are excited to be back in the building. We had a couple really good meetings this morning and, you know, I think, but the business is definitely very different than what I remember when I first got into the league.
And then, we've asked you about Joe Milton, the backup quarterback. Do you want your backup quarterback to replicate Dak and do the same mannerisms, all that kind of stuff, or do you want a little, have a different part of the game that he can bring?
You know, Ty, that's a great question. I would say no. And again, the evolution of the game of football, right? Like I would have said 15 years ago, if you would ask me that question, I would say absolutely. There's things like the cadence that you need the guys behind your starter to replicate because you want the cadence to sound the same. But to me, no. You know, Joe is a tremendous athlete. He's a tremendous young player. He's developing along with Dak. You guys, some of you guys caught that. Some of you guys are a little slow on that today, I'll be honest with you guys. Yeah, I did. There's worse things to go viral for, I guess, like not saying goodnight, bro. But honestly, I would say this, like, you know, it's one of those situations where we want Joe to be the best version of himself. And it's our job to have a system that's flexible enough. Does it help? Of course it helps. You know, because you really don't want to go into a game with, okay, well, this is the package for this player, this is the package for that player. And at this point, I have zero concerns about doing that with Joe and Dak and Will Greer or any of the guys. So, but I probably would have answered that question 10 or 15 years ago, probably different, and been like, yeah, probably. But with the game of football ever evolving, I don't think that's the case.
John Michaud with The Athletic. You were mic'd up recently during one of these practices talking about it was on kind of run player, telling the guys to stay up on their feet. How have they done with that? And then how important is it to be able to kind of walk that fine line? Because this is an organization that's, you know, lost OTA practices, head coach has been fined and things like that. So how has everything gone with that? And are you doing that because you want them to avoid injury or because you want to avoid the fine?
I mean, why are we putting that in the atmosphere with only a couple of days to go, John? Here's what I think, and I've been here for when we've been fined in the past. It is a fine line. I think, you know, we spend a bunch of time teaching these guys, showing them video clips of what an OTA tempo looks like. And mandatory minicamp tempo is no different. The restrictions that you have in OTAs are the same that you have in mandatory minicamp. The difference is we're allowed to have the players here, and it's mandatory, and you can fine them and things like that. But I do feel like we go above and beyond, myself, the coordinators, the position coaches, of showing them what you can and can't do. It's about moving your feet, maximizing your hand usage, and a lot of it we say it's competitive, not combative. You can't have combative drills and combative things. We don't throw players down. We don't torque guys. We stay away from the quarterback in the three-yard quarterback halo. It's educational. You're teaching these guys how to practice, and the reason they want to practice the right way is if you can show that you can be ready and prepared to go play in a real football game without having to wear pads, then you're going to reward those guys when the season gets longer and you're into the latter months and it's November and December and things like that. So these guys want to learn how to do it the right way. I would say we're doing a good job. Is it perfect? No. Do guys end up on the ground? Of course they do. It happens. But you see us correcting and teaching and trying to – we'll call guys up if it gets a little bit too combative and just explain that can't happen. We'll take guys out. We'll remove guys if that happens. And it hasn't happened very often. And I'm going to say it again, and you guys will see it today. And the best thing we're doing, though, is once the ball has been removed from the quarterback's hand or the runner breaks free, watch our guys run. And I'll be damned if there's many teams running as hard and as fast as we do for as long as we do following the football.
Nick.
Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Obviously, you've done a lot in building relationships with these players. How have you seen that translate with Micah in this process and what he's kind of going through to be able to have more effective communication in this time, if that makes sense?
I'm a people person. You know, I love relationships. I hold relationships very dear. The trust piece and the honesty piece and the authentic piece to me is really important. I laugh about, you know, Micah reaching out and calling me and but, you know, I think it says that he feels a certain way about me. He's comfortable with me, and I'm trying to develop that with all the guys. And so it takes work, you know. It takes work. It takes, you know, doing things that maybe, you know, you don't always feel like doing. But there's nothing more important than to get to know these guys. And sat down and talked to Mike a little bit today, and we're just touching base. And you know, now we're into the point where, hey, let's finish the offseason strong, talking about everybody, and then, you know, what are everybody's plans? We're really big into having the veteran guys try to talk to the young players because they're about to get, you know, 5 weeks off, 4.5 weeks off before we head out to Oxnard and training camp. And, you know, the best way for the rookies and young players to have a great routine or great plan is to spend time with those guys and ask them questions. They do it differently than we do, you know, because they have to get a little bit of a break and let their body heal and recover, but they also got to, you know, have that perfect balance where they're still running and moving and able to change direction, because when we get to training camp, it's go time.
And then you and the quarterback room went on a Greek dance retreat. Explain that. Forgive my ignorance there.
Well, I'm still mad at Steve Shimko for setting that up. Because the dance moves, I think I'm a great dancer. My wife will disagree. I think I'm a really good dancer. Now, maybe dancing next to Joe Milton wasn't the best thing that I did. I don't know how I got put into that group. But, again, just some families got together, the quarterbacks, their families, my wife and I went. And it's just being together, you know. Like, we spend time in the building. You guys spend time in the building. You guys spend half your life in this room. But, like, when you do something outside the building, it's different. There's a different feeling where you're not more comfortable. That's not the right word. But you're more engaged, and just to, you know, be around the different people and to, you know, to see, you know, Dak's newborn, Aurora. And just, I mean, that's what life's about, man.
Connor. Tommy Yarns, DallasCowboys.com. What do you want to see over the next 3 days that'll have you feeling some sense of comfortability going into training camp?
I want to see these guys compete. I want to see them continue to build and stack, you know, really 3 good days. The fact that it's mandatory minicamp doesn't really change, again, the way that we practice. But I want to see, I'd say we're having an excellent offseason. From the start of phase one, we came in here and we did all lifting and meetings, to phase two, getting on the field and working a little bit more with fundamentals than scheme. You do more fundamentals in phase two because you can't really do things against the opponent. And then now coming off of OTAs and into mandatory minicamp, what mandatory minicamp has really become is it's just another couple OTAs. In all reality, the biggest difference for us is we will have afternoon meetings so we can watch the film and make the corrections and things like that. But in terms of the tempo, the consistency that we've had, that needs to carry over, and the focus needs to be good. Vacation's coming. We know that. But there's still work to be done these next 3 days.
Stoggies of The Athletic. Brian, one thing Mike McCarthy said a few times was his system was built on the quarterback being successful. Said that's how he learned it, and obviously his background learning is similar to yours. Just what is your system? What do you anticipate it being built on?
I mean, it starts with taking care of the football. The quarterbacks, obviously, everybody knows that. Quarterbacks, and I agree with Mike. I mean, quarterbacks are so important to our game. But to me, it's never changed. You know, you got to win the turnover battle. You have to own the line of scrimmage. You have to attack with your playmakers, and you have to be multiple. That's what the system is on all three phases, special teams, offense, defense. It doesn't change. And the quarterback's one of those pieces. The quarterbacks are the piece that get a lot of the attention. But at the end of the day, we're going to be judged with whether we win or lose. And the best way to win in this league is to, one, take care of the football, two, to have an incredible set of offensive and defensive linemen to control the game, whether you run it, throw it. People want to talk about numbers. Do you throw it 40 times? Do you run it 40 times? Well, it doesn't really matter. You just have to own the line of scrimmage. And then we have some really good pieces. And so we have to move those pieces around and make them hard to find. And that's when you say attack with your playmakers doing that. And then we're going to be multiple, because I think being multiple is hard. You know, this is you know, the best of the best in the NFL, and there's incredible coaches, incredible players. And so if we can make them have any indecision at all about what's potentially coming as a blitz on defense or as a formation run, you know, if we have any advantage because they're not sure and they're confused, then that's good for us.
Of the many statistics out there now, is there one that you look at that will indicate to you during the season that Dak is being successful right now? He's doing what you want him to do in your system.
Yeah, wins.
Garrett Podell, CBS Sports. Brian, the organization talks about player acquisition being a year-round deal. With the Packers releasing Pro Bowl cornerback Jaire Alexander, you guys having some injuries at the position, how closely do you look at somebody like that who is now on the open market?
Yeah, you know, Garrett, we look at everything. We monitor everything. Will and you know, ownership, Steven and Jerry, they do a great job looking at all that stuff. We monitor it all. I'm not going to get into specifics of what our conversations are like, but we will always be looking from today till the end of the season. You know, we will always be looking at, hey, is there a player that fits us? If so, what's it look like? And we'll have those real conversations.
Mike.
Michael Wesley, WFA. The Micah storyline obviously has a lot to do with his contract, has a lot to do with his buy-in to your new system. But just from a football perspective, what do you see as the tangible benefits of him being here today in terms of his vibe on the field and then what he can do to challenge some of the guys, some of the new guys?
Well, I think number one, there's the number one thing is the connection piece. You know, I mean, he's you know, that we have a lot of new players on this team. He spent time with a lot of those guys, not just in the building, but away from the building. But I think that's always going to be the first thing that I look at, him getting to know Joe Milton maybe a little bit better, you know, and him getting to know George Pickens better and some of the guys on defense. I think that's a big, big piece of it. But you want your best players excited about what you're doing. You want your best players buying in. Because they're your best players? No. Because they're the ones that the young players look up to. Because they're the ones that are like, okay, hey, that guy's different. And why is he different? It can't just be because he's got an incredible first step and knows how to bend an edge. He's got a work ethic. He's got a process that he goes through. We talked a lot about that today. Like, what is each player doing on a daily basis to help them become a great player? And so we talked about a couple of those things in terms of it's got to be authentic, it's got to mirror their identity, but what's the process that's going to allow them to get to the ultimate outcome, which is something that they're trying to achieve this year?
There you go, Dallas Cowboys head coach Brian Schottenheimer right here on 105.3 The Fan. I got to tell you, we consistently get better feedback with his press conferences than any Cowboys coach I can remember. Will that actually win the team anything? Well, we'll see.
Hope so.
Yes, I hope so as well. Coming up next, will we get this Marcus Semien the rest of the season? Plus, we've had Rangers executives on the air the past couple of days. They break down the trade deadline for us. We'll do it next right here in The Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.